Right. Good morning, everybody. So glad you're here with us today at morning worship service. Let's stand and let's sing.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Thank you. Remain standing.
Well, Michael, I was so caught up in that singing that song, it took me by surprise there. Let's bow our heads and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, we just love to lift your name on high. We love to sing about you and talk about you. And Father, as we've come this morning, I pray right now, through your Spirit, you will help us to block out all things that would keep us, that would sidetrack us from being focused in on you and worshiping you and loving you. Father, we pray this morning your Holy Spirit would come and just rest with us, that we would welcome you as far as guarding our hearts and taking charge of our hearts, Lord. And Lord, we want today to bless your holy name and to please you more than anything. Oh, Father, today as we preach your word, as we sing, we just pray that, Father, you would, I know you'll lift us up, and we want to be pleasing to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and it's so good to see you this morning, and we're got a good crowd today. So glad to see y'all. I don't know what I'm doing here. Am I doing anything as far as the echo is concerned? Are y'all echoing? Oh, I'm fine. Okay. All right, then. It's good to see you again, and we've got a good crowd today. Thank you so much for being here. And I know you came to worship King Jesus today, and you're going to be blessed by being here, and the Lord's going to bless you for being here. I want to make a couple of announcements now. First of all, a couple of weeks from now, Sunday, February 12th, at 5 p.m., we're going to have a Valentine's banquet, Valentine's fellowship, and that's Sunday evening, February 12th. Everyone is invited, of course. Food and transportation are provided. Are y'all going to pick me up in Chelsea? Okay, maybe not. I can drive. Okay. All right. Now, you can make reservations. We need to know if you're coming so we can plan for it. And if you'll just on a slip of paper or on the back of a visitor's card, or you can wait till next week. I'm going to have something in the bulletin next week, a little reservation slip in the bulletin next week. And you can do it right now. You can use one of the visitor's cards. You can use anything you want just to make a reservation. And also, on that slip or whatever you use, or if you want to wait it next week, please put down whether or not you need transportation. I know I'll mark mine, and it was whether or not we'll need transportation. All right, I believe those are the announcements that we have, and it is wonderful to see you folks. We have several guests this morning, and we are delighted to have you. Not only are you welcome here, you are wanted here. Now, on the back of your pews, there is a guest card. We want to ask you to do something for us. I know you're always filling out forms, but we would really like to know more about you. If you would you take that card and fill it out and drop it in the offering plate when it passes later in the service? Because we want to know as much about you as we possibly can. We are interested in you and the Lord's will in your life. So if you'll do that, the offering plate will pass at the end of the service. If you'll do that, we really would appreciate it. Sure would. Now we always love to have a time of fellowship. We meet folks, we greet folks, and we're going to have that right now. And if you are a guest in the service, we're going to pick you out especially today. And we'll make sure you will see how our folks are. They're the most greeting folks you've ever seen. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask y'all to stand. Everybody stand. All right, everybody stand. Jennifer just got seated. You're going to have to stand right back up, aren't you, Jennifer? All right, let's all stand and notice where our guests are and greet one another in Jesus' name.
Okay, if everybody can make their way back to their seats and everybody remain standing, we're going to sing some more.
Oh, Jesus,
Without him, how lost I would be.
Thank you. Be seated.
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you, Lord. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find that there is none like you. Your mercy flows like a river wide, and healing comes from your hand. Suffering children are safe in your arms. There is none like you. There is none like you, Jesus. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find that there is none like you. Can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find that there is none like you. I could search for all eternity long and find that there is none like you. Like you.
We thank you, Michael, and there is none like the Lord. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 23 and this morning, and we're going to, we've got it in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to stand. We've got it on the screen again, and I'm going to shed my coat. It's warm up here, so I'm just going to get rid of this, and I think that'll make me and you both more comfortable. And Psalm 23, and we've been doing a series on Psalm 23, and we will get about two more messages regarding Psalm 23. But I want you to, if you would, if you will stand, and if you'll look to the screen here, and we're going to read Psalm 23 together. Join me as we read this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May the Lord bless us, and you may be seated. And anytime we read God's word. Now today, the first week we talked about the shepherd is all I need. The second week, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we talked about the fact that not only is he all we need, but he's all I want. And that's what David was saying. Now, then last week we talked about why the shepherd is all I want. Because he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now today, we come to another verse of scripture that continues that theme, why he's all I want. Not only is he all I need, but he's all I want. And it's that verse verse 4 that says, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now today, I'm going to talk about those trials that we go through in life and how to have victory over those as we talk about the shepherd's assurance. Now, I know that every one of us goes through trials in our life. Some of them very difficult trials. Some of them we go through every day. They're those little small trials, and sometimes they're not too small to us, but in the scheme of things, they are pretty small. But someone said one time, if Satan couldn't crush you with a boulder, he'd pelt you to death with popcorn. And I believe some of those everyday things are sometimes worse. But it's those big trials that it's very difficult to walk through. And that one in particular is the valley of the shadow of death, that death. And we're going to talk about that, how to have victory in just a moment. And as we talk about the shepherd's assurance. Now, everybody sometimes has a bad day. I heard about a fella that he got fired from his job. When he called to tell his wife, she said, well, I'm leaving you. On the way home, he had a flat tire. After he got the flat tire fixed, he drove a little while and he had a wreck. After he got away from the wreck, he got home and his house was on fire. Well, he said, at least I have my dog. He'll greet me. And dog ran up and bit him on the leg. He didn't have a good day, did he? Well, those are bad days, but I'm just teasing about that. But you know what? We do have some tough trials that we go through. Hard trials, deep trials. In fact, sometimes we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I want to talk to you about two things that we can be assured of from Psalm 23, verse 4. When we walk through those trials. First of all, I want to talk about we have assurance of the shepherd's presence. When we walk through trials, we have assurance of the shepherd's presence. Notice what it says. It says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now let's look at that for just a moment. He is present with us when we walk through the valleys. Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 14, as the children of Israel were about to go, they were going into the promised land that we're going to, and they had sinned against the Lord in chapter 32, and Moses interceded for them. And the Lord, he said, if you don't go up, please go up with us to the land. If you don't go up with us, says Moses, then I don't even want to go up. And so the Lord said this, my presence will go up with you and I will give you rest. Friends, the presence of the Lord is always present with us. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And then the Bible tells us when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he says, lo, I'll go with you always, even to the end of the world. And so David talks about going through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, folks, there is a literal valley that they call the valley of the shadow of death. That is in Israel. I've been through that valley. I mean, the physical, literal valley. It is a valley that runs from Jerusalem up to Bethlehem. And then it continues. There's a valley also called that down to the Dead Sea. And I've driven through that. My son pointed it out. This is the valley that they call the Valley of the Shadow of Death. Now, why do they call it that? Well, it was because it was a very eerie place. And on the sides, as you went through this valley, there were high, craggy rocks and barren land. But in the main scheme of things, why is it called the Valley of the Shadow of Death? Because in the late afternoon, especially, when the sun was setting, it would cast eerie shadows. And not only was it a kind of a dangerous place anyway, dangerous place anyway, but it also had robbers and it had wild animals that were a threat to the sheep. And the sheep were also always skittish when they went through there anyway. And so the shepherd, and why they were going through there is that was the valley led up to Bethlehem and the higher elevation in the summertime where there was green grass. And then they would go back down near Jerusalem, and I've seen that area too, when down below Bethlehem in the wintertime where they could also go back home and they could feast on the wonderful grass down there. But David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. There are many of us here that have walked through a lot of dark valleys. Somebody said we've never been through a trial, just wait. You will. But some of us, somebody else said it, you're either coming out of a trial, in the midst of a trial, or you will go into a trial sometime in our lives. It's just the way it is in life. And David said the greatest trial of all is when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, either ourselves, but most of the time, it's with other people. I know that many of you have lost loved ones. I can remember back years ago, May 2015 was a valley that I walked through. In fact, we began that valley. My wife Jeannie and I began that valley in August 2014 when we were told that she was diagnosed with leukemia. And we worked very hard. We went through a hard time, especially her, of course, over that next 10 months. And in UAB Hospital, she went to be with Jesus. And it was a hard time. It was dark. And it was difficult after that. It was difficult at the time and before that. But it was very difficult after that. Many of you have gone through that, are going through that time. But there's one thing. As we went through, as I went through, as she went through that valley of the shadow of death, we knew that the Lord was with us. We knew it. God's presence was with us. Listen to what the Bible says in Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, says the Lord, I will be with you. That's talking about the flood waters. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you or drown you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Why? Because I will be with you. He promises that. And then the Bible tells us in Psalm 27 and verse number 5, which is one of my favorite psalms. It says, for in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me, protect me. He shall set me high or up on a high rock. He shall set me upon the rock, and that rock is Jesus. So he's with us. His presence is with us. He's with us when we go through the valleys. But the second thing is, he's there. He's with us. He is present with us when we have the victories. Now, a child of God looks differently at the valleys of life. We also have victories in life. And it can be a victory, as David really is describing a victory here. He says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You see, a child of God looks differently at going through a valley, any kind of valley, but especially the valley of the shadow of death. Why? Because they have assurance that not only is Jesus with us, but folks, he is victorious with us. We belong to him, so we are his. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 and beginning with verse 21. He said, and he's talking about, he's in prison, he's going through trials, and listen to what he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what I would choose, I cannot tell you that, whether it be life or death. He didn't have a choice, by the way. But he was talking about a hypothetical situation, if he could choose. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better than staying here, even though I would see folks saved and I would see you grow in Christ, is what he's saying. Romans chapter 1, the Bible says, I'm sorry, chapter 14 and verse 8. Listen to what Paul says. He says, for if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. You see, that's the difference in a lost person and a saved person, a child of God, and one of the sheep of the shepherd's flock. The difference is, we know we belong to Jesus. We know our loved one belongs to Jesus. And though we go through that dark valley, either way, we're going to have victory if we go to heaven. And we will have victory here because the Lord will not leave us. He's there with you. And those of you, when we've gone through those dark valleys, if you're a child of God, you know he was with you. I know that I do. Now, why? Why can we have that tremendous assurance? You know, he uses the valley of the shadow of death. He uses the word shadow. Now, shadows can't hurt you, can they? No, they might spook you, but they can't hurt you. Shadows they're just as the light shines on an object, it causes a shadow. We have a shadow, but shadows can't hurt you. And so when those there in the valley of the shadow of death, they saw those shadows, it was eerie, and the sheep would become skittish perhaps. But David said, I'm not really afraid even of those shadows, although it looks eerie, because you are with me. There's no fear. You are with me. I remember when I was in college, I had a roommate. His name was Tom. Tom McClendon. Tom's been here. He and I were raised together, and I've known him for a long time, and many years. Okay, over 50 years. And we were born together there, over just 50 years. Anyway, we were roommates, and we had a little house, and we were roommates in one room. I had another roommate that had another room there. And at night in the spring and the fall, when it was kind of warm, we didn't have air conditioning. At least we did in the living room, but it didn't reach the bedroom. And it was a window unit. And then so what we would do, we would open the windows. And our other roommate had a big old, you remember those big old fans, window fans, and they pull the air through. Oh, I love those things. It was so nice. And so we would open the windows all over at least in the bedrooms, and that air would come through there. And our house was right about 50 yards from a railroad track. And there were hobos always going up and down, and we were always talking about the hobos getting us and things like that and teasing about that. Outside our window, there was an old tree. It was a craggy tree when the wind blew. And there was a light on a pole right back here, and when that light shined in, there were on the wall, there was these fingers going back and forth, and that was that tree. And so we were always teasing about all kind of stories about Hook Man and all that. You know how we were as teenagers. So I was laying there one night, and my back was to the window. I was in the window, literally. My bed, turned upside down on my bed, and my back was in the window. It was so cool. And I was almost asleep, and my crazy roommate said, "Skip." "What, Tom?" "There's a hand reaching in the window." I said, "Shut up, Tom. You know good well there's no hand." "I ain't kidding, man. There's a hand reaching in the window." Well, he just wanted me to turn around. He kept on and on. And of course, it all, you know, that wind, all that, those trees. And finally, I turned around and I said, "McClendon." He said, "Oh, I was wrong. I'm going to sleep. Good night." Do you think I could have gone to sleep after that? No. Man, I was wide awake. But that was just a shadow. Those shadows, they couldn't hurt me. Nor could that invisible hand hurt me. Or that couldn't hurt me either. But you see, that's how Satan works. He tries to make us afraid. He tries to scare us. But listen, this is how a Christian faces death. He anticipates. This is only a place where we're passing through. Peter says, "We're strangers and pilgrims here. We're only passing through. Our home is in heaven." Listen to what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21. Paul says, "For our citizenship is in heaven." Folks, we're citizens of heaven. We're earthly citizens of Alabama, and we're citizens of the United States of America, but that's not really where our citizenship is if you are a Christian. It's in heaven. Listen, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. And what is he saying there? Listen, citizenship, our citizenship is in heaven. And that's why Paul could say, "For me to live is Christ and die is gain." Listen, we're just graduating. When we leave this world, if we belong to Jesus, we're just graduating and going home. After Jeannie passed away, the only thing I could think of I wanted to go home. You know, this is home. Birmingham's home. And I wanted to go home. Well, guess what? I got to come home because you folks called me as your pastor. And that's why I got to come home. See how God works. And though this is my earthly home and this is where my friends are and my family is, my real citizenship, ours, is in heaven. Now, why can we be assured of that? Because we have a Savior. Why is it that we can be assured that when we pass through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear evil? Because the Lord is with us. Now, this is not just any shepherd. This is the one who said, "I am the good shepherd." The Bible says he is the great shepherd. The Bible says he's the chief shepherd, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago. He is our shepherd. But he's not just the shepherd, folks. Let me tell you what he did. The Bible tells us that we're sinners and Jesus died for us on the cross. He died because we couldn't do enough good works to counteract our sin. Jesus came and lived that perfect life. And then he died on the cross to pay the penalty. The wages of sin is death. Pay the penalty. That's talking about spiritual death, though. But Jesus not only died a physical death, he experienced that death of the wages of sin. He paid our price for sin. But listen, not only that. If he had just died, we would never know. He'd been a great martyr and a wonderful teacher like many others. But we would have never known if he was really master of death, like he told John, the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Jesus said to her, "I am." Lazarus had died, and he said, "Martha,
I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And Martha said to him, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Jesus told his disciples, men will crucify me. Men will put me to death. But on the third day I will rise. Well, guess what he did? You know this story. You've experienced the resurrected Christ in your life if you know Jesus. Yeah, he died on the cross, but that was not all he did. On the third day, he exploded out of the grave. He'd gone into the realm of death, and no one had ever escaped death, but Jesus did. He exploded. He came forth out of that tomb. That stone was rolled away. Actually, it was blown away. And he came out of that tomb. And you see, our Savior has victory over death. And so when he says, I am the resurrection and life, he wasn't just whistling Dixie. When he came out, David could say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He could say that with confidence because he knew the Lord was with him. But later on, the Lord would take care of all that because he would come forth from the grave and he would say, I am master over the grave and I love you and your home is in heaven and I've already had victory over the grave for you. That's victory. You see, Jesus said, hey, don't worry about trials. And trust me through trials and even through the valley of the shadow of death. I got your back. And Jesus does. He's got our back and he's got our heart. The Bible tells us that he would walk through the valley of the shadow of death. For listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 through 57. He said, so when this corruptible, talked about our body, has put on incorruption, talking about that new body, and this mortal has put on immortality to live forever, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. I said, we talked a while ago, that Jesus is present through the valleys of life and through the victories of life. Death is swallowed in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, Satan can threaten us with death. We say, okay, I'll go home. He wants to do anything he can to discourage you and to take your eyes off Jesus. But Paul says, that's not going to happen. David said, that's not going to happen. He's always been faithful. So the first thing we see is the assurance of the shepherds present. But finally, I want us to see, secondly, the assurance of the shepherds' protection. David said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, there are two things here. First of all, he guards us with the rod. You see, a shepherd had two sticks, a lot of them, most of them. One was a big rod, and that rod was used to defend the sheep. It was used to fend off wild animals. And he would use that rod and to beat them back and to defeat them and to scare them away. He would protect the sheep. That's what he does for us. You see, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But let me tell you something, friend. Jesus is there with his rod of truth, with his rod of protection, and he will not let Satan have victory over you. The Bible tells us this. Resist the devil. The Bible says, submit yourself to God, says James. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In other words, sheep, when Satan begins to roar and try to cause fear to come into your heart, run to the shepherd, because he's going to protect you. So the Bible says here that he will comfort you with a rod. Well, the sheep knew the shepherd was going to protect them, so that brought forth comfort, and he knew that they knew about the rod. Now, they may not, you know, hey, he's got a rod. They're sheep. You know, they can't talk. But they knew the comfort of the shepherd. They loved the shepherd. The shepherd loved them. The second thing here, not only does he guard us with the rod, he guides us with the staff. Now, all of us have seen a shepherd's staff. You know, it's got that crook on the end of it. And that shepherd's crook or staff was made to guide the sheep. In other words, a sheep may be getting out of the way, or they may be drifting, and he'd go and tap them on the side using that staff to guide them, to push them back into the right way. Sometimes those sheep would be stubborn, and they wouldn't adhere to the tap, the gentle tap and the guide there, you see. And so he would use that crook, and he'd grab that sheep by the neck and pull him. He used that crook for a lot of things. If a sheep has fallen into a hole or a ravine, he would reach down and pull that sheep out with it. He used that rod to guide the sheep. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalm 31, verse 3. You are my rock and my fortress, says David. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. That's Psalm 31, 3. Psalm 73, 23 and 24, the Bible says, nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. Well, let me just stop there. I can remember when I was a little boy. It's a faint, ancient memory. But I remember that. I can remember that I was scared of the dark. And when we would get out, maybe my dad and I would get out, or my mom. And maybe it would be a little dark and scary. And I can remember that I could reach up and take my dad's hand. And as long as my dad had hold of my hand, or my mom had hold of my hand, I wasn't afraid at all. I knew they were going to be with me. And that's what the Bible says here, telling us here in the scripture. It says, you hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and then afterward, receive me to glory. The Bible says in John 16:3, Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and he will guide you in all truth. Yeah, that staff, it guided us. Friend, he said, it comforts me, knowing that you're going to guide me. You see, it's a comfort in knowing that when we need Jesus, because we, like sheep, have a tendency to stray. We have a propensity for that. You know that. Tomorrow morning, if you worship the Lord today, and you may get all excited, and you go home, and if you're not careful, if you take your eyes off Jesus, you may be off on a hillside somewhere. I don't mean physical, but you strayed. We need the shepherd to guide us, to use his staff to get us back in line, sometimes to pull us back in line. We need his discipline. For those that he loves, he chastises, the Bible says. Friend, let me ask you something. It's a comfort to know that you belong to the shepherd. Jesus loves you. Now, you say, well, preacher, you don't know what I've done. I've drifted far away from home, drifted far away from God. But folks, let me tell you, Jesus says, come home. Remember the prodigal son? When he went home to the Father reached out and grabbed him and hugged him and said, my son is home. That's the way it is with Jesus. He wants you to come home. He loves you. He died for you. He says, with open arms, come on home. You say, preacher, surely he wouldn't forgive me. Oh, yeah, he will. Not only will he forgive you, he already has. On the cross, your sins were paid for, you see. And so he wants you to come home. He wants you to come home. Do you know Jesus? Let's bow our head for just a moment. There might be someone in here that doesn't know the Lord as Savior. You don't know the shepherd. You're not in his flock because you are one of those sheep that are astray. You do not have a shepherd. So right now, why don't you get right with God? You can. You can be saved this morning. See, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Jesus said, you know what? He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible tells us Jesus died in our place on the cross, suffered for our sins in our place, because he loves you. He loves you. No, preacher, he couldn't love me. Oh, he loves you with all of his infinite heart. He loves you. Why don't you call on him right now? Put your trust in him. He is trustworthy. He won't lie to you. He is truth. He is truth. Right now, why don't you call on the name of the Lord? You could pray something like this: Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And oh, how I need you in my heart, and I want you in my heart. I believe you died on the cross to pay for my sins. And right now, as best I know how, I turn from my sin. That is, I repent. I turn from my sin and my way of life and turn to you. And I ask you to come into my heart and be my Savior. And Lord, I commit myself to you as your sheep. And you pray that in Jesus' name. And the Bible tells us, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, I will, and open the door, I will come into him and will abide with him and him with me. Father, bless this time of invitation. And Lord, if there's someone that needs to come and recommit their life to the Lord, if there's someone who needs to come and take a stand for Jesus, they've never been saved, or they've been saved, but Father, they never have obeyed you in baptism. And I want to pray today that we would have folks that would say, I'm going to stand for Jesus. I'm going to obey him and be baptized in Jesus' name. Father, bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to all stand together, and we're going to sing the hymn of invitation. Let's stand up. What are we going to sing, Brother Michael?
Savior like a shepherd.
Savior like a shepherd. What a great hymn. All right. Savior like a shepherd. Lead us. That's what we've been preaching about. You come on right now.
Like a shepherd, lead us, much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us, for we use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are.
We're going to thank our all the folks that you come for, our ushers. And I'll ask you to be seated while we share together. When we give, you can put any, if you made a reservation, you go ahead and put those in. All are playing right now. And guys, you come.
Father, we come today. We just thank you for this.